Wrung out after the weekly grind of episodes, Mallory came to me one freakishly warm day in late November as I sat out on the deck of her apartment watching the Connecticut River flow. We both have 10 days off over Christmas. I think we should drive west to Arizona. I haven't been back to Sedona in years. You want to drive to Arizona? I looked up from my thoughts, my eyes shadowed from lack of sleep. That's like 2,500 miles one way. It'll take days. You've never been west, and you keep saying you want to see mountains. Neither of us get time off, she reasoned, her dark brown eyes fixed on me. I still looked hesitant. We're writers. We need new experiences, she added. How could I argue with that? And so it was that I came to be along the side of Route 64, outside of the Santo de Cristo Mountains, on the day after Christmas. Sangre de Cristo in Spanish means blood of Christ. This namesake is rumored to be rooted in the burnt red coloring that rises when the sun casts upon the otherwise white snow. Sangre de Cristo is, of course, the latest term for a range that has gone by many names throughout history, be it in Native American, Spanish, or English tongue. A few of the other names the mountain has gone by are the La Sierra Madre and simply the Snowies. The range is the southernmost branch of the Rocky Mountains. Throughout the journey west, I had a raging fever. In a mere 2 days, we drove 1,925 miles from Connecticut to Colorado Springs, where we chose to break our journey. The further west we went, the sicker I seemed to become, as though the turmoil, rage, and grief within me were tightening their coiled grip, sensing that something was coming that would force it to relinquish its hold. We would enter Colorado Springs by night on Christmas Day. We were a few hours out when, driving along the back roads into the city, Mal suddenly pulled over along the shoulder of the barren road we were on. "What are you doing?" I turned to her from the passenger seat. "Get out of the car," she urged as she opened the door. The frigid wind caught the door as she opened it, and she had to fight to close it again. "It's freezing," I shivered through chattering teeth, slamming my door shut. "Just look up," she instructed gently. I turned my gaze upward and stared into the dense darkness, squinting through the cutting wind. And there, in the clarity above, at 6,000 feet above sea level, without the pollution of the city, lay bare the Milky Way. Threads of blue and gold flowed into clouds of cream and violet, with a spray of stars running like a river above us. In that moment of awe, I couldn't feel the bite of the wind or the fatigue of the fever. The dome of the night sky engulfed me. My world was turned upside down, and I fell into a womb of light, color, and calm. We drove on. By the time we hit Colorado Springs around 11 p.m., the fever was high, inducing blurred vision and sweats. After a quick snack from the only bar in town open on a holiday, we found a cheap motel and crashed hard. When we had arrived, the surrounding range, Pike's Peak at 14,000 feet being the tallest, were obscured by cloud cover shrouding the moon's light. Come morning, it was time to see the new horizon. In the weeks before the miscarriage, I'd lined up a trip to Glacier National Park in Montana because, for years, there had been something in me, a growing hunger to see mountains, snow-capped and graceful. After the years spent isolated in recovery from various ailments, I longed to be engulfed by the wild silence. I wanted to recapture the ability to be still and be brought to a moment of awe and grace. Sadly, the trip was canceled in light of events. Mallory knew the pull the West had over me. She was a seasoned traveler, having made dozens of cross-country treks between her homes in Arizona and Connecticut. When at last the morning came, Mallory and I climbed into the car to begin the search for a cafe for breakfast. Mal drove out beyond the tall buildings